Well, it's good to be here today. Thank God for His presence. Thank God for His Word. Thank God for the sun is shining. Amen. Somewhere all the time. Yeah, I mean, God is good, and He's got good things for us. He's got good things for you today. And I've got news for you that this is a bad news message for the devil. Because his hold on you is being loosed. You're walking in the freedom that God ordained that you walk in. And God's freedom releases, as Adam said earlier, the healing power of God into manifestation. So let's just thank Him. Let's take a moment and just thank Him for what He's already done at the cross, what we already have because of that, and then let's just thank Him for the manifestation of that. Yeah? Thank God. Come on, let's just thank Him. Now, it's great to clap, but I want you to lift your hands and let's just thank Him. Let's just take a moment and let's thank Him for the cross. Let's thank Him for what He's already done, the price that's been paid, and that we realize it. Father, we thank You. We just want to thank You so much that You sent Your Son, that You put all of our sicknesses and all of our pains on Him, and that You put all of our sin on Him, and He took our place, and we want to thank You for that. We could not have paid for that with a lifetime of working for it. And so, Lord, we're just so thankful that we're Your children, and You love us, and You freely have given to us everything that we need in this life and the life to come. And so, Lord, You have not made it hard. We thank You that healing is ours. It belongs to us, and the enemy can't take it from us. And we give You thanks today for revelation of Your Word and for manifestation of Your Word with signs following. And everybody said amen. Amen. And guys, why would we want to believe in the power of the cross and then not believe that we could receive the benefit of that? That's crazy. I'm not letting one benefit of the cross go unmet in my life. Everything Jesus died to give to me, I'm taking. How about you? Yes. And we want to welcome those of you who are online watching. I tell you, the Lord is present with you right now. And He's there to manifest healing to you. And I just speak the healing power of God to you. I had years ago, when I first published the first run of my books, Your Healing Door, there was a prophet of God whose wife had cancer, and she read the book and was healed. And then he prophesied over me. He said, Greg, I see you teaching I see you preaching the gospel and ministering healing and doing healing crusades in every county in the United States. And I'm thinking, what a word. How in the world could I do that? Well, today, right here, I'm doing that. That's awesome. And literally, my wife and I travel all over. We're usually in some state or country, a different place every weekend, and people come to us and say, "Hey, I've seen you." And I said, "I've seen you on the other end of that camera too," and they come to me and tell me how they received and been blessed. And so thank God for Healing School. Thank God for Andrew Womack Ministries, Andrew and Jamie, and their vision for to get healing to us and get healing through us. And for Daniel and Tracy and the team, their faithfulness to help us this wonderful healing message. Amen? So open your Bibles to Genesis Chapter 1, that's close to the beginning of your Bible, for those of you that wondered, Genesis 1, and then I'm going to tell you funny, is that okay? I'm going to do it anyway, yeah? Okay. So this is an email from a daughter who's sending an email to her daddy about her marriage plans. She said, "Dearest Daddy, I'm coming home to get married soon, so get out your checkbook, LOL. I'm in love with a boy who's far away from me. As you know, I'm in Australia, and he lives in Scotland. We met on a dating website, became friends on Facebook, had long chats on WhatsApp, and he proposed to me on Skype. And now we've had 2 months of relationship through Viber. My beloved and favorite dad, I need your blessing, good wishes, and a really big wedding. Love, lots of love and thanks, your favorite daughter, Lily." Answer, "My dear Lily, like, wow, really, cool, whatever. I suggest you two get married on Twitter. Have fun on Tango. Buy your kids on Amazon. And pay for it all through PayPal. And when you get fed up with this new husband, sell him on eBay." Praise God. Okay, I have a real passion to see the Word of God worked out in your life, where you realize the healing power of God. When we were worshiping earlier today, I was worshiping in my office to start with, and then I came in here, and I was just taken back a little bit through memory, down memory lane. And I remember being in a place where the doctors told me that I had cancer and that they were going to have to take my thyroid out, and didn't know if they could save my voice box. And how we, you know, my wife and I just worshiped and sought the Lord, and how He led us through that healing journey, where we walked it out and we received it. And then I remember sitting in my car outside of my business one day after getting the bad report about my son Michael, who is now, when he was 15 months old, Michael is now Andrew Womack's daily television producer under Stephen. But I remember sitting, because Michael's 15 months old, and you know, when your baby is sick, do you understand that's another level of emotion, and it's another level of unbelief you have to fight against, because you've got this baby that is in pain, and his joints were swelled up twice their size, his neck, his knees, his ankles, his elbows, everything, and he couldn't hardly move, and he was in pain, and he would cry all the time, and Janice and I would take turns watching him. But I can remember just sitting outside my business, just weeping and crying out to God, "Lord, I've heard, you know, Kenneth Hagin talk about what you did for him, and Oral Roberts, and John Osteen, and what you did for his daughter who had cerebral palsy, but this is my baby, and would you help me understand? You know, don't let my baby die because of my lack of understanding. Would you make it real? Would you make healing real to me?" And that's what I, and he did, by the way, and Michael was healed. Yeah? And then subsequently, that was the genesis for my book, Your Healing Door, which the premise of that is simply this. There are many keys from the Word of God that will unlock a healing door for you. There's not just one. I mean, it could be one principle of the Word will unlock a healing door for you. It could be, and it could be another and another and another. There's not, man, God, He's provided so many ways for and means for you to be healed. And it could, you could be in a situation like we were with Michael for a long time. It, you know, 3 months with a baby that's in a crisis situation is a long time. And you might have been a long time. It might be 3 years or you know, 10 years or something. But I just want you to know, Jesus, it doesn't, the fact that you've been waiting a long time doesn't change the fact that the Lord has a suddenly for you, and you can hatch off and get well right now. And here's what's in my heart, more importantly, what is in God's heart, is that just that same cry that I had to the Lord, I get it, I see, I know it's your will, and you've done it for all of these, but this is my baby. Would you make it real to me? Help, I believe, but help my unbelief, right? How many of you know God has mercy on that? And that's where I'm feeling and sensing today, is that someone is at that place, and you've been, you know, you've come to all the meetings, and you listen to all the CDs, and you know, that you've done everything, you've pushed every button and pulled every lever, and you haven't seen it happen yet. But I came to tell you good news. The Lord has healing for you today. Your suddenly is here, and he wants to open it up to you. And if you'll just with an humble heart, just tell him, Lord, you know, get through this thick skull, you know, and help me get in agreement with what you've already provided, and I'm going to walk it. I'm going to receive it. I'm a candidate. How many of you are a candidate to receive his healing power and to minister it as well? Yeah? And so I want us to, I said all that because that was what I was receiving in worship, is that the Lord has positioned us to receive, but also to manifest his healing power. And he wants us to walk in it. And so I've got a key. I'm just going to share one key. There are lots of healing keys, but I'm going to share one today. I want to talk to you about walking in your authority. Walking in your authority. Not just knowing you have it. I want to talk about walking in it. How do you walk in the authority that he's given you? Because there's a lot of people that have it that don't know they have it, or some of them know they have it, but they're not walking in it. I could use this example. You know, let's think about this for a second. Your dream job. Think about it for a minute. Your dream job, or position, or ministry, or business, or whatever it is. What your dream position in life, your dream career, your dream ministry. What would that be? You know, don't tell anybody, but just in thinking about, you know, how many of you have a dream or something God's put in your heart? And if money were not an object and you could do anything, what is that? And then think about that for a second. Your dream job, your dream position, your goal, your ministry or your business or whatever it is that you feel like that God's put in your heart, okay? All right, how many of you have that locked in? Lift up your hand if you got locked in. Others of you, it's okay. If you don't, you know, be thinking and praying about it. Again, how many of you have that locked in? Okay, now listen to me. Look up here at me. You can have that in your heart, and you can really know it's from God. But agreeing with it with your head and your emotions and stepping into it, even if it was given to you, and walking in it with confidence, not with arrogance, but with confidence, is an altogether different thing. Adam would know this in theater and arts and music and so on. There are a lot of gifted people. But there's a distinction and a difference between those who have a gift and then those who step into it and walk in that gift in confidence. And I mean, I see that here on the stage a lot of times here at Charis Bible College, people that are just as gifted as the next person, but they don't release that gift with the full measure of anointing, because they haven't yet stepped into it yet. They haven't yet put on that garment. They want to do that in their heart of hearts, but they don't yet see themselves in that role. Does that make sense? They're not walking in it. They're not stepping in it. They're not walking in confidence in that role. You can see that with people who are in management and supervise other people and leadership. And have you ever been around an insecure leader? Anybody? Okay. Why are they insecure? I mean, they have the job. Why are they acting that way? Because they don't really see themselves in that place. They're not walking in it with confidence. And I'm telling you, there are a lot of people like that who have the authority that and even in their heart and their spirit, they know that belongs to them, but yet they haven't with their mind yet let themselves step into it and walk into it. So therefore, it's not operating in its fullest measure. And that's the way it is when it comes to the authority that Jesus has given to us. We generally believe that the Lord will heal and it's His will and all that, but we don't see ourselves stepping into that. Are you hearing me? God called me. I'll just give you another example. I was in business for years and good at it and made a lot of money and I enjoyed making money. I started 7 businesses and by the time I was 19, I had my own business and I started 7 businesses and a couple of them were really, really successful. And I saw them, I was operating and then I enjoyed that and I made a lot of money and I gave a lot of money but then I was counting money one day after I was filled with the Spirit, actually now 40 years ago, and I was counting money one day and from these businesses I was making, that money I was making from these businesses, and I heard this song that I didn't even like. It was this old song from Peggy Lee, "Is That All There Is?" And then my wife, at a similar time, God spoke to her that she's a pastor's wife. And I said, well, that means one of 3 things. That I'm going to die and you're going to marry a pastor. We're going to get number 2, we're going to get divorced and you're going to marry a pastor. Or God's going to change my heart because a pastor I am not. I'm a businessman. I know what I am. Okay, but how many of you know God, I mean, people call me pastor today. But I didn't see, she saw that, but I didn't see it. And then I decided, I finally surrendered to it. And I walked in that and I trained and I went to Bible college, but I would teach, but I wasn't teaching with the kind of authority that brought results because I didn't yet walk in it. I wasn't yet confident in seeing myself in that role. Does that make sense? And it wasn't until I got revelation of 1 Peter 4, we're in Genesis, we'll get there in a minute, because I'm just going to give you some basis on authority. But in 1 Peter 4, this just set me free to walk in the authority of the gift that God gave me. 1 Peter 4, verse 10 and 11, it says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another, as good stewards of the manifold what? Manifold grace of God. And if anyone speaks, let him speak as if it's his own words. Is that what it says? As if it was the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability that God gives. And that's what I had failed to do. When I was teaching and preaching, I was acting like it was my word. I was trying to convince people. And And he said, look, if you're going to speak, speak like it's God's word. If you're going to minister, do it out of his ability. And so I began to step into that confidence of his ability in me, and this is his word. He'll bring it to pass. I don't have to. And when I did that, the anointing in me started flowing out of me, and God was able to start bringing his word to pass in people's lives. Now, that's exactly what happened to me in ministry. It happens all the time. The manifold grace of God is for different gifts and callings, but when you put confidence and step into what God has called you to do, you're gonna see the results. And when it comes to healing, it's the same way. And a lot of people look at healing that it's over here somewhere, and yeah, it we know God heals and we know it's his will, but we're not confident with it. And what I want to talk to you for a few minutes, depending on how well you listen, we'll tell how long. We've just, by the way, if you haven't noticed, we've just taken off. Okay? So, but we will have a good landing. So I want to talk to you about how to walk in your authority, walking in your authority. I've given you two or three examples of what I'm talking about. God can give you more, okay, and give you examples of walking in authority. Genesis 1:28 is the story of creation. And after God created man, verse 28, then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion. Everybody say, have dominion. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and every living thing that every living thing that moves on the earth. I think King James says creeps on the earth. So you got authority over creeps. And then Genesis 2:15. Then the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. So here. Here is God giving, he created man and he gave man authority. He gave man dominion over the earth he created. He created, in 6 days he created the earth. The last creation of his was man. And he created man to take authority and dominion over the earth and to steward the earth. Is that true? Okay. Then in Genesis 3, we see the story of how man, who was supposed to steward and tend and keep the garden and steward the earth and take dominion, failed to do so. And when he failed to do so, in Genesis 3, when Eve ate and Adam with her ate of the fruit that they were not to eat, in Genesis 3:22, then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil, lest he be put out lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Now, why would that be important that he not eat the tree of life at that point? Because he would have stayed in a fallen state forever. Okay? And therefore, God sent him out of the garden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man and placed a cherubim on the east. But here's the point. So here it is. God gave man authority over everything he created, right? But then man gave it up to the enemy. Now, I'm not telling you, most of you, anything you don't know. But we've got for me to help you walk in the authority that God's given you, you've got to kind of understand the background. God gave man authority, did he not? And then man abdicated that. He gave it up. And he gave it, who did he give it to? He gave it to Satan. And then we know the story then of all the centuries where the enemy ruled and God was able to get in through covenant with Abraham and his covenant people. And then finally, Jesus was birthed into the earth and he lived a sinless life and he died. God raised him from the dead. And then in Matthew 28, after Jesus was raised from the dead, he destroyed the power of death. And right before he ascended on high, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Let me see if I can get there in my new Bible. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth." Now, what does that sound like? What does that remind us of? What God did with Adam, right? He said, "Now all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth." Now, if he had it all the time, then why did he say, "Now it's given to him"? Now, what happened? He took the keys of death and hell from the devil after he destroyed death and God raised him from the dead, and he said, "Now all authority is given to me on heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples." So Jesus took this authority through his death, burial, and resurrection, took this authority from the enemy through his sacrifice on the cross, and he gave it back to us. Is that true? Adam had it. Adam abdicated it, or Satan stole it. Well, it was a combination of both. Jesus took it back, and that old Steve Green song, you know, "I have the keys, praise God. I've got the keys." And yet Jesus has the keys, but Jesus doesn't have the keys anymore. He gave the keys to you and me. And now you and I have all authority in heaven and earth, just like Adam did before he fell. You and I have all authority in heaven and earth. You and I have been given, if the Word of God means anything, you and I, the church, have been given all authority in heaven and earth. Heaven backs the authority that has been given to us. Jesus walked in that pre-cross because of his relationship with the Father and knowing his destiny. He walked in it, and then he got it, and then he gave it to you and me. Are you hearing me? You have all authority. But the question is, are you walking in all of your authority? Are you looking at it like I was when God called me to pastor, and I'm thinking, "No, you got the wrong guy. I can't talk." Remember in high school, and there was a presidential election, and I was voted to represent one party and the other guy the other, and I could write a good speech, but I couldn't speak a good speech. I mean, my knees would knock. I did not have a vision of me doing what I do today. And a lot of us don't have the vision of walking in the authority that he gave us, but you've got it nonetheless. And the more confidence you put in that authority, the more results of that authority you will see happen in your life. Are you hearing me? So, this authority includes dominion over anything that opposes the will of God or attempts to steal the benefits of the finished work of the cross from us, which includes, we've got authority over sickness and disease, over poverty, over pain, over condemnation and guilt and shame and all of these things that the cross took care of. Now look at Ephesians, because I want us to now go a little deeper in this subject of authority and how you and I can walk in it. Here the Apostle Paul is praying for the church, which, are you part of the church? So he's praying for you and me here in Ephesians 1. And Ephesians 1, verse 18, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Now, what do I need the eyes of my understanding enlightened about, Paul? that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward you who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him up from the dead, seated him in his right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality. Everybody say far above. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. Now, he's praying for you and me that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened to the great power that has been given to you and I, that we're seated together in heavenly places, and we've got a name that allows us to exercise an authority that's above every other name. We sang about that today. His name is higher. His name is greater. And that gives us hope. But he's praying here. This is a prayer. You and I could pray that over ourselves. God, show me the power that's been given to me. Show me the inheritance that you have in the saints. Show me the hope of your calling in my life. But that the hope of his calling and the inheritance, the hope of his call on your life and the inheritance that he has in us, but also that we have in him, does not become realized until we get a revelation of the exceeding greatness of his power that he's given toward us over that's far above all principalities and powers and everything that the enemy can throw at us. Yeah? If you're going to fulfill the hope of his call on your life, and you're going to walk in your inheritance, and by the way, when you walk in your inheritance, you're giving him his inheritance. Because part of his inheritance are the treasures of darkness that are out there of people who are yet to come in. And when you walk in your authority and you defeat the enemy, it's going to attract people to you, and more importantly, attract them to him. And he wants you and I cannot walk in the full hope of his call on our lives and that inheritance if we don't get a revelation of the authority that we have. This is not optional. We have authority. We have, but the challenge is we're not walking in the full authority that we have. I mean, if we did, we'd be seeing a lot more miracles, signs, and wonders, and instantaneous ones as well. And Ephesians 2 verse 6, look at that. Now I'm going to give you a few scriptures here, and then we're going to turn to one passage and read, and then I'm going to give you a couple more scriptures just to let you know where we're going, okay? So Ephesians 2 verse 6 says, let's back up in verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love, with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you've been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, this place of sitting together in heavenly places with Jesus is this place of authority we have with him. Just sitting there with him doesn't mean we don't have any activity in our lives. We're seated together in heavenly places in First Ephesians 1, 21 and 22 talks about it's far above all principality and power and every name that's named. You and I have the authority over every name that is named. I'm going to come back to that in a minute. You and I have authority. That's exactly where do we remember hearing about that to start with? Back in the garden. God said, look, you got authority over everything that creeps, man. You got authority you got dominion over anything on the earth. And you and I have authority over anything that opposes. It's God's will that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So anything that opposes, is there any sickness in heaven? Any pain in heaven, any oppression in heaven, any depression in heaven, any evil in heaven. No, well then you know what? You and I have authority to bring heaven on earth. We've got authority to bring heaven on earth. You and I, say me. God's called you and me to establish his will on the earth. And here's the deal. And this is wild because it's kind of a paradox, okay? What I'm about to say. It's a bit of a paradox where it seems to be contradictory, but Hebrews 10:13, I mean, I didn't write this, so I'm just going to give you the authority of the word, and I'm going to preach the word from Genesis to Revelation like it's his word. And I'm not going to cherry pick the Bible, okay? But here it is. From that time, verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. Well, now, wait a minute. I thought he said it was finished. Why would he be waiting for his enemies to be his footstool if they're already defeated? Well, the enemy is defeated, isn't he? The enemy's defeated, but he's not dead. Right? And so we have laws in our communities, and we have police who've been deputized to carry out the authority to protect the citizens from thieves that come in. The laws have been put in place, and so the will of the government that is to serve the people is already set in place, but it takes deputies to enforce that. And that's exactly what he's saying here, that you and I are to reinforce the victory that Jesus won at the cross. And just because they're defeated doesn't mean the devil's dead. And he's messing with people, he messes with you, and you and I have been given all authority, and we've got to walk in it. Amen? You've got the authority, but just because you've got it doesn't mean you're either going to receive the benefit of it or walk in it. And Jesus is waiting till his enemies become his footstool. Look, he's the head, we're the body. He's waiting until the lowest part of the body is walking in their authority over the enemy to reinforce his defeat at the cross. We're not defeating him again. All we're doing is reinforcing and letting him know, no, you're a defeated foe, and you're defeated through my life. And I'm taking the finished work of the cross, and I'm telling you the power of the cross defeats you every time you try to steal from me, yeah, or anybody else. And you walk in that authority. And in Matthew 16:19, whatever you bind is bound. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose is loose. Now, let me turn to Matthew 10. Look at Matthew 10. And I've got, this is more of a, just more of a teaching or a Bible study on your authority, and I want to give you enough scriptures so that you can walk in greater confidence. Now, Matthew 10, verse 1, and when he called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them what? He gave them power over what? Unclean spirits, to cast them out, to heal all kinds of sickness, all kinds of disease, and he gave that to his disciples. How many of you are his disciples? Okay. I've shared this example before, and I'm not going to repeat it. Other than I'll share, I'll share a little bit with you. But this word power is the word exousia, and the word exousia means jurisdiction. Okay, it means you have the jurisdiction to operate in the realm of healing. In the realm of casting out devils, in the realm of delivering people from pain, you've got the badge. You've been deputized. It'd be like a sheriff putting a badge on a deputy, right? And is that sheriff going to run off all the bad guys in Healingville? No. In his town, no. He deputizes deputies to do that, right? Then look at Luke chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. Then he called his 12 disciples together, gave them power, everybody say power, and authority over all demons to cure diseases, and he sent them to preach the kingdom of God, to heal the sick. This word power is the word dunamis. And that's the word miraculous power. That's the word, you know, that has to do with, you know, supernatural signs and wonders. So you've got the badge of power that gives you the jurisdiction to function in that area, and you've got the dunamis, which in natural terms it would be like a gun, a taser, handcuffs, the car to run, you know, go, right? You got all that. And you and I have been given, deputized as disciples to take dominion in the area of healing sickness and disease and demonic oppression over people's lives. You and I have been given power. He took it from the enemy and he gave it to you and me. He gave us that authority. And he gave us absolute authority. In other words, your authority is law. Your authority is law in the spirit realm. And if you see it as law in the spirit realm, it'll manifest in the physical realm. If you see that your authority is law in the spirit realm, it will manifest in the physical realm. But the way we really see it is, the devil, he's been around a long time, and he knows the spirit realm and all that more than us, and we don't see ourselves as law, as the, you know, this is, we are, you know, we're it, we're the sheriff, we're the deputy, we're the law, and you got to obey me. We don't see that. And because we don't see that, we don't walk in that. And then because we don't see that in the spirit realm, we don't see it in the natural realm. Now, I just said what really is in my heart and what is in God's heart for you today. If you'll walk in your authority by seeing you're seated together in heavenly places, which means you've been deputized, which means you've got jurisdiction in the area of sickness and disease, all kinds of malady, all kinds of chronic problems, all kinds of pain, all kinds of oppression, you've been deputized, which means your word, your authority is law in the spirit realm. And when you see it and you use it in the spirit realm, it'll manifest in the physical realm. Hallelujah. If we see our, God, give us revelation. We pray that prayer over us. Give us revelation that we'd see, Lord, you've given to us the exceeding greatness of your power to rule in the spirit realm, to rule over and to evict evil spirits that are oppressing people with sickness and disease. When we see that and we walk in our authority, we're gonna see healing, miracles, signs, and wonders just pop like popcorn. Just manifest, just like this. Man, I don't go by feelings, but I feel and sense the presence of God on what I'm saying because it's what he's saying to us. If we would just, and Lord, help us. I believe, but help my unbelief. I didn't see myself as a pastor for years, but once I began to see myself the way he saw me and I stepped into it and started walking in it, the anointing started flowing, and you receive the benefit of that today. And so will every so will you in your physical body and everybody else who is afflicted by the enemy of their bodies and of their souls when you and I exercise the authority and take and know and understand God, my word, my authority is law in the spirit realm. Jesus knew it, And that why, man, the demons, they Jesus, don't torment us. You know, Jesus they know, and Paul they know, but the issue is this: do they know you? More importantly, do you know your authority over them? Yeah. Look, guys, this isn't rocket science. He gave all power and authority to Adam. Adam gave it up. Jesus took it back. Jesus gave it to us. Would we please wake up and realize he's waiting for you and I to carry out the authority he gave us. And he believes in us. Yeah? Now, look at this. Look at Matthew 8. Matthew 8. And this is the story of the centurion. And we get this story is going to kind of unpack what I just said in a better way, more gooder. Matthew 8, the story of the centurion. And man, I love this stuff, man. This is so awesome. When you know you pray and you seek God and you get his mind I can tell light bulbs are coming on. People are getting this and you're gonna walk in it. And then, you know, all I can say is poor devil. Because people are seeing him for the loser he really is. You and I have authority in the spirit realm. You and I have authority in Healingville. You and I have authority over all power, over all sickness and disease, and over every name that is named. We're going to come back to that. But now, here in Matthew 8 is the story of this centurion and his servant. In verse, let's see where we want to start. Verse 5. Now Jesus entered Capernaum. When he entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, "Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented." And Jesus said, "I'll come and heal him." And a centurion answered and said, "Lord, it's not worthy you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I'm a man under authority." Everybody say, "Under authority." And I have soldiers under me. Everybody say, "In authority." So he was a man under authority. He was a man in authority, right? This man who is under authority, but he's also in authority, how does he exercise it? He said, "I say to this one who I'm in authority over, go." And he kind of hangs out for a while. What does he do? I tell the guy that I'm in authority over, go, and what does he do? He goes. And to another, come, and he what? He comes. And to my servant, do this, and he doesn't struggle a while, he does it, right? And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I've not found such great faith, even in Israel." Why is it that he said this was great faith? Because this man understood his authority. And he understood authority. "And I say to you that many will come from the east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness." Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go your way. As you believe, so be it done unto you." And his servant was healed that very hour. Now get this, watch this. This centurion understood that Jesus had authority over sickness and disease. This centurion, who was in authority, in the realm that he'd been given authority, he was under authority, he was in authority. And he knew how authority worked. How it worked, if he said, you know, to a servant, "You go," it'll go. "You come," he'll come. "You do this," he'll do that. And then he attributed over to Jesus. You know, I understand authority, so it's not really necessary for you to come to my house. If you'll just use your authority, it'll work right where you are. Because we're reading between the lines here, but that's why Jesus responded the way he did. If you'll just speak a word, in other words, if you'll use your authority and you'll speak to your servants, in this case, paralysis, in this case, torment, in this case, sickness and disease and pain, if you'll speak a word and use your authority, my servant will be healed. Why? Because I recognize that you have authority in the spirit realm, and your word is law. If you tell a demon to go, it'll go. If you tell a body to be healed, it'll be healed. If you tell healing to come, it'll come. If you tell pain to go and leave, it'll leave. And Jesus marveled, because that's how faith works. You understand authority. In other words, he said, I'm agreeing with you. I've got authority in the spirit realm. And if everybody else would believe that, all it takes is someone to believe my word. And my word is law in the spirit realm. And if I tell a demon to go, it'll go. If I tell sickness to leave, it'll leave. If I tell healing to come, it will come. My servants obey me. Jesus' servants are demons, sickness, disease, pain, even healing. And he said, whatever I say in the spirit realm will go, will happen in the natural realm. And he marveled. And then what did he do? He spoke the word. And he said, you know, be it as you've said. I'm establishing what you said in the spirit realm. You can go home. Your servant's healed. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? That, do you believe Jesus has authority in the spirit realm? Do you believe his servants are demons, sickness, pain, and disease, and even healing? Do you believe they serve him and obey him when he tells them what to do? His word is law in the spirit realm, and when he exercises his authority in the spirit realm, if it's law in the spirit realm, then everything will line up in the natural realm. Is that true? You believe that? Okay, do you believe that? You really believe that? Okay, he gave that authority to you and me. He gave that authority to you and me. What authority, Greg? Your word is law in the spirit realm. You tell a demon to go, and because he's your servant, because you've been given a name that is, you've been given authority, and you're seated together with Christ in heavenly place. What does all that mean? What does that mean? That means you've got authority that's higher. We sang it today. His name is higher. You've been given authority that's higher than any other name, any other disease, any other problem. And if you see yourself there and walk in your authority, now you see, when I came here, I'm still a servant, but I served Wendell. And then I served Gary. And Gary tells me to go do this, I go do this. Wendell told me to go to this school, I go. He told me to go, I go. And you know, then I served and I served, and now, and then I became the Dean of Education, and I didn't know what a dean did, but I stepped into deaning grace, and I learned that I had authority. You know, I mean, I'm still under Gary and Andrew, but I had authority. You know, then I chose instructors, I chose courses, and you know, I didn't feel really worthy to choose courses that would represent Andrew or instructors. And I struggled with it for a little bit because, you know, I mean, I went to Gary and Andrew about everything. And you know, finally it's like, Gary said, will you lead? Don't come to me with this anymore. You decide. You tell your servants what to teach. You tell them what class to go in. You tell them what to do. Now, I'm the director. And I'm not saying, it took me a while to step into director grace and to walk in it. I'm going to Gary's office. Gary, look, would you leave me alone? Would you direct this place? Would you make some decisions? Would you step into it? See, that it's that kind of thing. Are you following me? And look, we believe Jesus. I believed Gary could direct. I believe he could make those decisions. I believe Andrew could do it. But for a little while, I didn't really believe that I had that authority. And I kept going to them, why did we hire you? Let's bring it around. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. He's not here anymore. He delegated all this to you and me. Jesus, there's a devil messing with my body or my family. Jesus, come help us. No. The authority that Adam had, he gave to Satan. I took it back. I gave to you. I gave it to you. I said, I gave that to you. Now listen, you start directing things. You start directing things. You direct things. You get in my word and find out how things are supposed to be in the spirit realm and in the physical realm, and you start directing things in the spirit realm because I've given you the jurisdiction to take charge, take control, tell the devil what to do, where to go, tell bodies what to do, tell sickness what to do, tell healing what to do. You tell it what to do. You walk in that authority. Listen, guys, I know the Holy Ghost is honing in today. You're walking in a greater realm of authority. And when you walk in your authority in the spirit realm, it's exactly what happened with Jesus. Things changed in the natural realm. What happened when that guy went home? That servant was healed. Look at your neighbor. So you've got the authority. Look at your other neighbor. Look at your other neighbor and say, that authority means your word has law in the spirit realm. Your word. Your word has law in the spirit realm. And whatever you exercise authority in the spirit realm, it'll manifest in the physical realm. Amen? Amen. Man, this is awesome. Hallelujah. It's awesome. Man, I love what I do. It's just awesome. Philippians 2, 9 and 10. Now I've got the airport in sight. Okay? So we're about to land. Philippians 2, 9 and 10, look at that with me. Philippians 2, 9 and 10. Therefore God has highly exalted him and given him the name. I love this. He didn't just give him a name. He gave him the name. Everybody say the name. Which is above most every other name. Some other names. A lot of names. Above how many other names? Every other name. Is that true? And verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, those on earth, those under the earth. So we have a name above every other name. Now, somebody name a name here for me that opposes the will of God. Somebody tell me. Supercell anemia. Supercell anemia. Someone else. Cancer. Someone else. Scoliosis. I mean, you see arthritis, you're naming names, lupus, heart disease, a degree on a doctor's wall that gives him functional authority to give you a terminal sentence. The name of Jesus is above that name. Whatever his degree, whatever his degree on his wall is. I'm sorry, I got a name that's above that name. And here's the Here's the deal. Jesus' name is above them all. And it carries authority. It's law in the spirit realm and in this realm. And then remember Matthew 28:18, Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. And then now combine that with Mark 16. Look at Mark 16, in verse 15. This is also awesome. Mark 16, verse 15. Now, is Jesus' name above every other name? And he said, now look, Adam was given authority. Adam gave it up to the devil. Jesus took it back. He said, all authority is given to me. Now, and then the Mark part of the Great Commission, after he said, all authority is given to me, verse 15 of Mark 16, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my what? In my name. His name is the name above every other name. Look, he said, all authority has been given to me. Now I'm giving it to you. Now he's telling you how to use it. In my name. In my name. My name exercises my name gives you the right to function in authority in the spirit realm. The same authority that I operated with. I gave you my name. My name, in my name, they'll cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it won't harm them. They'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. His name is above every other name. He gave us that name. He took back the authority. He gave it to us. And he said, just use my name in the spirit realm and your word is law. Amen. Amen. Then John 14, and we'll end with this. We've landed. John 14, verse 13. John 14, verse 13. And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. That word ask actually means require. It means require. You can look it up. It means require. Whatever you require in my name, if you get in the Word and you see the Word of God and in the will of God, then what I want you to do is I want you to take my name and my Word, and I want you to represent me in the spirit realm. I want you to tell demons who are your servants what to do and where to go. I want you to tell sickness and disease, which are your servants because they're mine. I want you to tell them what to do and where to go. I want you to tell healing even, which is my servant, what to do and where to go. I want you to do that in my name, and whatever you require of me in my name that lines up with my will, it's done. And guys, here's the deal. Jesus knew his authority. He knew that the Father sent him. How do you do what you do, Jesus? The Father sent me. I'm representing the Father. Now here's what I want to ask. How many disciples do we have here that will step up and take their place in the spirit realm and walk in their authority? And if that's you, I just want you to stand up. If that's you. This isn't a game. We're not playing. This is serious business. Okay? He died. God created the heavens and the earth. He gave authority to Adam. Adam gave it up to the enemy. Jesus died, lived a sinless life, died, rose again. And he said, why do you think he said it? All authority is given to me in heaven and earth. I've got the keys, Steve Green. He has the keys. Only thing Steve didn't go on and say, yeah, he had the keys, and now he gave them to you and me. Will you give yourself permission to see yourself as the deputy, as the one that's in charge, as the one who now has the keys. If you will, nothing will be restrained from you. If you will, and you'll take authority in the spirit realm, instantaneous miracles will start happening. They'll start popping like popcorn because you've got authority. You've got the power. Your word is law. His name is above every name. When you use His name, when you use the authority He gave you, your word now is law. Your word now goes. When you tell sickness to go, it goes. When you tell cancer to die, it dies. When you tell demons to flee, they flee. When you tell healing to come, it comes. When you tell resurrection life to happen, it happens. Why? You're in authority. You're the one now. And if you will, if you'll step into that, He will confirm His word with signs following. Heaven will back you. Amen. Let's just lift our hands and just thank Him for the authority He's given us. Father, we thank You for this revelation. We thank You, Lord. All heaven is rejoicing right now. Lord, we're stepping into the authority You've given us. We're not abdicating it. We're not backing up anymore. We're not praying and asking You to do it. Jesus, You gave us the keys. You gave us, our word is law in the spirit realm. Just say that with me. Thank You, Jesus, for the authority that you took from the enemy, that He took from Adam. God gave You all authority in heaven and earth. Your name is above every other name. You gave that name and You gave that authority to me. Help me, Father, see myself as walking in that authority, as functioning in that authority. My word now is law in the spirit realm and in the natural realm. Demons are my servants. Sickness and disease are my servants. Pain is my servant. Even healing is my servant. Whatever I say, they have to obey. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, you know, you've been listening to me for a while, and I want you just, I don't want you to flippantly, see, this is what happens a lot of times. People use the name of Jesus so flippantly. I never use His name unless I know that what I'm using it for has, I've got authority to do that, that it's the will of God. I never pray in the name of Jesus. You hadn't started to pray in the name of Jesus if you don't know it's His will. So what I want, but what, I'm not talking about flippantly saying things, but what you know you have authority over right now, I want you to begin to walk in that. Just use the name right where you are. Just tell that sickness to go, that pain to leave. I'm taking authority. Tell that demon that's been trespassing in your body, just evict him. You're evicted. You cannot stay in my body. You get out in Jesus' name. My word is law here. My word is law. I don't care how long you've been there. My word is law. My word is law. Paralysis has got to go. Nerve damage has got to go. All kinds of cancer, sickness and disease and heart problems, you got to go. Heart valve problems, you leave in the name of Jesus. Healing come. Sickness leave. Pain go in the name of Jesus. All kinds of numbness in people's feet and in different parts of your body. There's been numbness, and we just command that numbness to go in Jesus' name. Praise God. Begin to use your authority. Father, we thank You for the authority You've given us. And Lord, You've given us authority in the spirit realm, and we're going to walk in it. We're just walking in it, Father, in Jesus' name. Anything we hear You tell us to say, we're going to represent You and say it. And Father, we're seated together in heavenly places. And Your name's far above, far above, far above cancer, far above heart disease, far above our arthritis and pain. In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you. Praise God. Praise God. I want those of you who are watching by way of internet, by way of live stream right now, I just want you to begin to take authority over that pain in your body. Begin to take authority over that sickness and disease, or it could be on behalf of someone else. Begin to take your place in the spirit realm right now, and you watch and see, it's going to start popping like popcorn. It's just going to start manifesting just like this. The healing power of God is so easy because you're taking your place. The centurion understood Jesus had authority in the spirit realm. Do you understand that? I said, do you understand that? And then take your place and you watch and see the miracles and the signs and wonders that are happening. Someone's being healed right now of a bursitis. Someone's being healed right now of pain in your joints. Man, I'm telling you, in the name of Jesus, we exercise authority over pain, all kinds of joint pain is being healed in the name of Jesus. Father, we just evict sickness and disease and pain, and we command even the miraculous power of God, the resources of heaven, to even do surgery and do restorative things in bodies that are lacking where it's causing pain. And Lord, we just believe that. Right now there's a cornea being healed. Cataracts are leaving in Jesus' name. Cornea is being healed. Retina is being healed. A detached retina is being healed right now in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. We praise you. All kinds of growths and lumps and things that don't belong in your bodies, they're being evicted right now in Jesus' name. And I pray this prayer for each of you. Ephesians 1. Let's look at it again. Ephesians 1. We need to, just leave ourselves with this word. And let's just say this together, okay? Ephesians 1, I think it starts with 18. Can you put it up on the board there? Let's say it together. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, verse 20, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, verse 21, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Isn't that awesome, guys? Isn't that awesome? Okay. Could I just get a commitment from you, those of you really meant business with God and that you want to walk in this, that you would read that and meditate on that and any other of the verses that I shared, but especially that one. Would you do that? Because I'm telling you, it's got to be real with you. Amen. We want our prayer team members to come forward now. And you guys are going to be praying with a greater dimension of authority right now. Those of you just would like agreement in prayer. Look, we can't take authority for you. We'll take authority with you. Amen. And we'll just agree with you. If you'd like prayer, these guys can. I'm telling the other thing that happens here is the gifts of the Spirit are in manifestation when these guys pray. And so I want to encourage you to come and let these guys pray. Those of you who are watching online, you can send an email in and we'll agree with you. And we love you guys. Y'all come down for prayer now, okay?
My favorite part about Charis would be just the family, the unity that's here, the good atmosphere. Like it's a true family. That's what it is.